please join me in the unison prayer of thanksgiving and dedication. Surely, Father, if we are always with you and everything you have is ours, then everything we have is yours. Not only these gifts and offerings that we bring before you today, but all our material possessions and our lives as well are yours. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture lesson comes from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Before we read, I'm going to invite you to bow with me again for prayer. Everlasting God, whose tenacious love holds us, make our hearts the house of your truth, and make our minds the realm of your wisdom, so that our fellowship will become your dwelling place through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Listen now, hear the word of God as it comes to us from Paul's writing to the Corinthians in his second letter, the 9th chapter. Paul says, "Now it's not necessary for me to write you about the ministry to the saints, for I know your eagerness, which is the subject of my boasting about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you may not prove to have been empty in this case, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you in this undertaking. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you and arrange in advance for this bountiful gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a voluntary gift and not as an extortion. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but the one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but it also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you, thanks be to God for his incredible gift. This is the word of the Lord. As we continue our look at stewardship, I want to begin with a video. If you could take these lights down and then run the video.
Should I tithe from my net or my gross paycheck?
If I tithe 15%, will you help me find a wife?
I'm sure my husband gave some last week.
I'll tithe next week.
Gee, I wonder how much money the church is wasting on these little envelopes.
You can have it, but I want you to know I'm not happy about it.
I made all those cookies for Kid Smoker. God's really not going to miss my money.
Who really cares if I tithe for my bonus?
Once my taxes are all paid.
After my credit cards.
Once my car's paid off.
Once my loans are paid off, then I'll tithe.
I'll start giving again.
Then I can tithe.
Then I can tithe.
I have so little to give.
If the game starts at 1:15 and we leave church by 12:30, we can grab lunch and have 15 minutes to make
it home.
I love you, God.
I love you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank
I love you, God.
I love you, God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I love you, God.
I love you.
So I wonder, how do you feel each week when you know the offering plate is coming? Are you reluctant? Are you joyful? Are you angry at times? Are you grateful? Do you feel compelled to have to give? Or are you glad about giving? Or do you just feel confused at times? Do you ever feel cheerful? It's interesting that that's the word that Paul chooses to describe what God really desires, cheerful givers. Jesus is spoken of in one of the stories standing in the temple, and he's staring right at the treasury box where they give their offerings. And I think, what would it be like if Jesus was watching us in worship today? I sort of think many of us would be thinking the nerve of that guy. Who is he? Why is he staring at us as we're bringing our offerings forward, which was the habit in the temple days? Perhaps he's judging us. Many that day were bringing lots of coins to pour into the box, I guess, to make an impressive jingle. I remember a friend in church that used to thump the plate with his thumb just to get a sound out of it, you know, as if he was doing more than he really was. I remember another fellow that made change out of the plate. That always struck me as odd. But then Jesus notices this one giver, and it's an unnamed widow, and she gives such a small coin, the widow's mite, that it hardly was audible hitting the plate. And yet after that scene, Jesus lifted up her gift as being significant, because the widow gave a sacrifice, giving all that she had. Well, I'd remind us, it is reality that Jesus is always present with us here in our worship. Don't we always say, "Be with us, Lord"? Always with us and ever observing, sharing in our worship and our offerings of praise and prayer and time and talent, and yes, even our money, our tithes and our offerings. Our giving to God is not an investment that returns interest like a savings account or buying a bond or investing in the stock market, though even those means of investing can be shaky in yielding much, depending on the market. However, there is a return from giving money to help others. The return we get from giving of our money and time and resources to help others is great joy. It's a sense of satisfaction. It's a sense of confidence that comes from giving ourselves to God and to God's ongoing work to reform and to transform this world. I've known a lot of generous givers in my lifetime, and some of the most generous had the least to work with. But all of them shared one thing in common. They said to me they gained more personally from their generosity than anyone else. And what they gained was a deep, deep sense of joy in their lives. What a joy it is to give to God, knowing that God in turn will help others. Giving is one of the ways that we praise God with our lives. It's one way that we honor God for all that God has done for us and is doing for us and will do for us. It's one of the active ways that we say, "Thank you, God, for the love of life, for your grace and mercy, for your constant care and your provision. Just knowing that God loves us and gives freely to each of us should prompt some form of a response. Giving is also one of the vital ways we join with God in generosity. And generosity is a part of God's very nature. In our scripture from Paul's second letter to the Christians in Corinth, he wrote, "You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God." Now, the backstory is that Paul was in the process of raising money in the churches, the Gentile churches that he had founded, to help Christians back in the mother church in Jerusalem, many of whom were poor and struggling and had great need. So he was asking from all these new Christians, these Gentile believers, for them to dig deep and to join together and to give of their resources, to be as generous as they possibly could in order to help their brothers and sisters in Christ whom they'd never met in Jerusalem. And not long after this written plea, he follows up with a return mission trip where he made his way around to these churches to receive their offerings for the church in Jerusalem. And then he sailed to Palestine to present those funds to the mother church in Jerusalem. We first learn about the start of these of special offerings back in 1 Corinthians when he writes to them to encourage them to be a part of it. He instructs the community, most of whom must have had little money to spare, to set aside a special offering daily so that they would be building up towards something significant. He didn't ask them to have a one-and-done special offering. He asked them to have a collection, which meant they were collecting over a period of time, raising money so that they could have something significant to send their brothers and sisters in need. There are many mentions in the collections of Paul's various letters in which he both praises the generous churches, and he also chides those who he believes have not been contributing as generously as they could. But all of his references to this special offering collection are couched in this same affirmation that their gifts are an important way of expressing their thanksgiving and praise to God. Just a few sentences earlier in the same letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote, "The one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Well, in that agrarian society, they understood seed and harvest, and that the two were connected. If you didn't plow the ground and plant the seed, there would be no harvest. He said, "Each of you must give as you've made up your mind to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Certainly, Paul was not promising that for every 100 coins that they contributed for the Christians in Jerusalem, that they would somehow magically get a 300 coin return. He doesn't say that. But what he is saying is that because their gifts are an expression of their thanksgiving and praise to God, that they would reap a harvest of joy, a sense of meaning in their lives, a sense of accomplishment for the betterment of the church. The message at its heart is the more you give, the more you're praising God, and the more joy you wind up feeling in your own heart and life. But Paul was also saying that giving is not something we do reluctantly or under compulsion. We don't just give out of a sense of guilt or obligation or duty or blind obedience. No, in fact, it's considered a privilege, believe it or not. We're invited to give out of a sense of our own joy and thanksgiving for all that God has given and continues to give to us. God loves, and God gives. And God loves cheerful givers. It's God's very nature to love and to give, and love and give. And Paul just invites us to join with God in that generosity of spirit. But if we begrudge giving or have a bad attitude about every dollar that we are setting aside to tithe or for special offerings, and we feel somehow that we're being forced to do it even if we don't want to, then we're certainly not giving to God as cheerful givers. My dad tells the story of Sunday school when he'd given me a quarter, which was significant at that time in my young life, and it was for the offering, and when the teacher passed the plate, she saw nothing come out of my clenched hand. And so she said, "Tom, don't you have something to give to Jesus?" And I said, "Yes, and when I see him, I'm going to give it to him myself." Those precocious preacher's kids, you just never know what they're going to come up with. But ultimately, I think she pried it out of my hand. This week, you are asked to prayerfully and joyfully make some important decisions about your own estimate of giving for the year 2020 to help support the ongoing mission and ministries of Celebration Presbyterian Church. It's God's church, and yet God says together it's our church. What will we make of it? Today you will receive, if you haven't already, your stewardship commitment packet. And we have some extras for those of you who are new to Celebration or visiting with us that would like to take one and look it over. We welcome you to. We ask you to go home, sit down, take some time, either alone or as a family, to prayerfully and carefully and joyfully decide exactly how much time and talent and money that you'll estimate you're able to give in support of Celebration for 2020. And we know we're not the only generous cause you support, but we hope that you'll consider us as one that is very important. We also ask you to take some time to think about how your decisions will express your thanksgiving and praise to God for all that God has done for you and for all that you know God will continue to give to you in the future. As you prepare your heart for making your stewardship commitment for the ministry and mission of Celebration in the year 2020, I invite you to remember the words of one of the old hymns that says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, list them on paper if you need to, so that you can see what a long list it is. Count your many blessings and see what God has done." And when you pray about stewardship commitment for the coming year, don't think what you ought to give or what you feel you are required or expected to give. Think instead about how much you want to express your thanksgiving and joy and praise to God. As we join with God in generosity of giving, and I firmly believe that we can, we will find a deeper joy in our lives than we may feel at this current time. There's a very large, and I mean thousands and thousands of members, large church in Seoul, Korea. And they give and give to help others. They support a dozen new churches in other countries with both their money and by sending people from their congregation to help in the building of those churches. They support medical missions and orphanages and hospitals. They generously support mission teams in virtually every corner of the world. Not too many years ago, they contributed more than $1 million, plus several on-site workers to build a new church building for a forming congregation in Estonia, far, far away from them. And when the pastor of the Korean church was asked why he thought the members of his congregation were so giving of their resources and time, he said this: "We know that God loves us so very, very much, more than we can ever love God back. So we offer our thanksgiving to God through giving of ourselves and our resources. Our giving is the way we praise God. Friends, hear the good news and believe it. God loves cheerful givers. So share the joy and praise God in and through your giving. With such an approach to stewardship, together we can give and live as cheerful and joyful souls. In the name of our holy and triune God, amen.